Welcome to session 1.3 of the ASReml tutorial. In this session we're looking at some aspects of coding the .as file and particularly looking at the title line and the data definition part. The .as file is a structured file. Parts of it are processed in a particular order and the parts need to be presented in that order. And the first part defines the data and the second part defines the analysis. So we're looking at the first part in this session. The definition part consists of a line of job qualifiers, and we looked at those in the previous session. The top line qualifiers, these may be on the command line or may be on the first line of the job. The next line, the first real line of the job, is the job title line, a single line which must be present and will contain some description of the analysis or the job that you're proposing to do. And this is then followed by the definition of the variables that will be used in the analysis. It's based on the data file, so normally you would have the data file existing before you start writing the .as file. There are various other files that might be referenced by ASReml. We'll look at those in the next session. Just to rehash the qualifier syntax, ASReml uses qualifiers to modify aspects of the job in many different ways. So we need to understand what a qualifier is, and it is a string which sets an option. The first character of the string is an exclamation mark, and then there is the name of the qualifier, but the first three letters are sufficient to define the qualifier, but we'll use longer names generally to identify what the purpose of the qualifier is. And then a space and then an argument. Occasionally there'll be two arguments. Often there'll be no arguments for a qualifier. The interpretation of a qualifier is dependent on its context, and so qualifiers need to be put in the right place for them to have the desired effect. The title line. It identifies the job. It must be present. It must not contain any qualifier. In particular, if there is not a top job control line preceding it, it must not contain a qualifier, otherwise the title line would be interpreted as the top job line qualifier line. So it's useful to write something in there which identifies the analysis as your analysis and what the subject is, just for purposes of documenting and recording what you're doing. There are two kinds of comments that we might have in a file. The first comment that I'll make is that characters following a hash are stripped out of every line as it's read in. So when ASReml parses a line, the first thing it does is search for a hash string, and if there is a hash found, it blanks from there to the end of line. The second thing it does then is say, well, is the line blank? And if so, it throws it away. Then if it has an exclamation mark in column 1 followed by a blank, it prints the line and proceeds to the next one. Now, in general, the line length is 2,000 characters. And the characters exclamation mark, dollar, and hash have special meanings. Exclamation mark identifies a qualifier, and dollar identifies the location of a substitution string. So $3 means put the third argument from the control line into the line at that particular point. Okay, so now we want to describe the data. The description of the data is actually doing two things at once, and this can be a little bit confusing. First of all, it controls the reading of the data, but at the end of the process it describes what we end up with after we've read the data and performed any transformations. Normally these two concepts don't cause a problem in that you normally base the variables that you want to analyse on the variables that are in the data set. We need to understand that there are really two things going on here. We're not that ASReml looks at the data definition first of all to define what it has to read, but then it uses the names to describe what it has after it's done the reading. The definitions should appear in the order of the data. So if the first column of data is an animal identifier, then the description of that should be the first definition that appears in the file. Definition lines should be indented. We've noted before that ASReml uses the indentation to distinguish these definition lines from lines that contain the file name which immediately follow. And if the line is not indented, ASReml will attempt to open a file, assuming that the string that it finds at the beginning of the line is a file name. Transformations, we're not doing a lot about transformations here, but it's important to know that transformations can be performed, and this is where they are done. So you might read in a column which is grams per plot, but you want to analyse it in tonnes per hectare, and so you need to do a multiplication of the yield to generate the appropriate units. Then that's done as a transformation. All data are held as real numbers. Those that are alphabetic in the data file, the real number will be the indexing number of the label. And if it's a numeric label, then the number that will be held is the indexing number for that particular label. So in the vector of the data, we have just real numbers. The data definitions provide a way of, first of all, identifying the column to be read, but then telling ASReml how it is to read that column, and then maybe how it is to be treated in the analysis. So there are several things happening at once. If there is simply a name without any qualifier, or with just a transformation qualifier, then that relates to a variable or a covariate. And so the number that's in that column, it must be numeric, will be simply read in and kept as a number. If the number that is in a column actually refers to a treatment code, and the code is what's in the data, so you have, say, one for male and two for female, or you have the treatments numbered 1, 2, 3 and 4, the four treatments, and that's what's in the data file, then you can follow the label with an asterisk. That simply means, tells ASReml to look for the largest number in that column and treat it as a factor with that many levels. So in the zinc example, the source had numbers ranging 1 to 24, so by saying source asterisk, it created a factor with 24 levels. Now we can also give the actual number of levels. So we could say source 24, and that would be appropriate. If we said source 15, say, because we knew that there were 15 sources rather than 24 of them, but we've just said source 15, ASReml will actually find that there are 24 levels defined and change the 15 to a 24 and treat it as a factor with a little warning message so that you are alerted to the fact that there are more levels in this factor than you thought. Let's say we had a column in our data which related to years and it had numbers like 1995, 1996, up to 2005. if we said year, space, star, then that would tell ASRAEML that there were 2005 levels to this factor year. Now, in actual fact, the levels that are present are only 1995 to 2005. There's only 11, not 2005 of them. So we need another form of input to accommodate that situation. There are two possibilities. One is that we read in the number, say year 11, and subtract 1994 from the number that's read in, so that 1995 becomes a 1, 2005 becomes 11, and then it is a factor with 11 levels, because we've transformed the input values from being 1995 to 2005 back to being 1 through to 11. Often you will have treatments in there, though, that are recorded with an alphabetic label. Maybe they are varieties and you've got variety names. ASRAEML can read those and code the data, and the way that you tell it to do that is to put exclamation mark A after the label. So it might say treatment space exclamation mark A. Now you can optionally tell it how many levels to expect, and it is a good idea to do that if there are a large number. And if you do that, you don't have to be precise if you're not sure, provided you give a number that's in the right ballpark. If the number that you supply is much too small, then ASRAEML might have a problem reading the data. If it is much too big, then generally there is not a problem, except when you predict or look at solutions, there'll be a lot of extra solutions for the non-existent levels. So if it's an alphanumeric label name for the levels of the factor, then use exclamation mark A, and if there are a large number, give an indication of how many you expect after it. If the numbers are numeric but they're not one to the largest number, so you have entry numbers and they might be 5-digit numbers, and there might be 1,000 of them, but you definitely don't want to create a factor with 99,000 levels, so you'd use exclamation mark I. This works similar to exclamation mark A, except that the numbers in the data field need to be integers, whole numbers, without a decimal point. Again, you can nominate the number of levels that you expect, just so that ASRAEML will make sure it has space for that level, for that number of levels, particularly if the number is large. A special case is exclamation mark G, and this is used when you have a group of covariates that you want to assign a single name to. Generally, in the other case, a label, a name, is associated with a single column in the data. But for this particular case, the label is associated with n columns in the data. And so you need to supply the number n, how many columns that you want to be grouped together. This has, there's a few special cases where this is of interest, but generally, in the majority of cases, you won't need this qualifier. If you're having a analysis of genetic data and you want to supply a pedigree, you would use the exclamation mark P qualifier. What this does is, first of all, flag that you will supply a pedigree file. The pedigree file will be supplied a little bit lower in the job and will be expected if exclamation mark P is found. And as ASRAEML does the processing then, it will read the pedigree file and identify all the individuals in the pedigree, the individual, its sire and its dam, or its female parent and its male parent, and then define that as the list of levels for the factor. And then when it reads the data, it will look and expect to find one of those identifiers that was present in the pedigree file for this particular column of the data, and defines this as a factor, with the number of levels being the number of individuals in the pedigree, and every individual or label, a level name in this column must be present in the pedigree file. Now, in this way, you can have, say, several columns which are based on the pedigree. You might have the individual, its sire and its dam, or a maternal grandsire, or some other relative. And those lists are all coded identically based on the coding of the pedigree. Just to step back a little bit, if we've got the simple form of a factor, let's say we've had a sex coded 1 for male and 2 for female, the output will just label those by default as 1 and 2 if we've used sex based star to define the factor. But we might like to have the names written into our output. And we can do this by, instead of saying sex space star, have sex exclamation mark L, and then list the names of the levels in the order that they are coded. So we have, in this case, male as 1, female as 2. Well, that's some of the qualifiers that control reading in the data. There's also a qualifier skip, and if you have a skip qualifier associated with a variable, say skip 1, then it actually skips a column of data before it reads this particular one. Now, this is a little bit Irish in the sense that the skip qualifier follows the name, but it actually skips a column that occurs before the column to which the name will be applied. The other one that might be of interest is if you have dates, then there's an exclamation mark date, which will translate a column which is in the form dd/mm/yy into a Julian type date and generate just a sequential number of days since the beginning of the 19th century. So let's just look at the SeedsInc example. SeedsInc is interpreted as covariate because it was simply a name without any qualifiers. Source star generated 24 levels, but only 15 of them are actually present. So the ones that were present were 1 and 2, 5, 6, 7 and 8, 11 through to 14, 17 to 19, 21 and 24. And that's equivalent to saying source 24, which generates the same combinations. If we'd said source exclamation mark I, then it would generate 15 levels labelled with those numbers. So the 15th level would be 24. Now, what actually happens in ASReml is that it assigns the level names in the order that they are found. In this particular case, the sources are sorted on this level number, so the numbers would be in order. But in general, the levels will not be in order or in normal collating sequence order in the data file, and so the names will not generally appear in order when they are listed. There's a qualifier exclamation mark sort that can be applied, which will specify to ASReml that it should sort the levels so that when they are reported in the output, they do actually occur not in the order that they appeared in the data file, but in the natural collating sequence order. Now we can say source exclamation mark A, and this will read the labels as alphabetic labels, in a similar way to the exclamation mark I. And just to repeat the comment, if there is a large number of levels, then exclamation mark I and exclamation mark A need to be followed by an approximate indication of how many there might be. Well, we've just mentioned the sort qualifier for alphabetic and numeric order, and that simply means that, say for example, you had a column in your data which related to sex, and you had it written in there as male and female, and the first record happened to be a male, then by default male would be first and female would be second. But if you have exclamation mark sort, then it will put them in the order female first, male second, which is a natural collating sequence. If you have a lot of columns, then you can specify sort all, and that will do all of the current and subsequent alphabetic and numeric encoded factors. It will sort them. We mentioned skip to skip fields prior to the one that you want that this definition pertains to. And the other thing that we're mentioning here is the length of alphabetic labels. The level labels are held alphabetically as character strings, and the default space allocated is 2,000 strings of 16 characters. Now sometimes you will need to have longer level names than that, and you can specify that by saying exclamation mark LL for label length and then N, say 20. If ASRML finds some labels that are longer than the current level, it will give you a warning to indicate that there are some labels that were longer than the specified length. The problem with this is that you might have two levels labelled with long names, but the first part of the name, the first 16 characters, might be identical. In that case, they would be treated as the same thing, even though they were different further down the track, if you didn't extend the length of the name that was held in the file. Well, just a few words on transformations. The purpose here is not to make you an expert in transformations. In many cases, you might prefer to do your transformations in Excel or in R or some other statistical package. The purpose, though, is just to point out that you can transform your data as ASRML is being read in. The transformations follow the definition of the columns in the order mixed in with them. The transformation operations are performed strictly in the order that they are defined. What ASRML is actually doing is read a line of data, and say needs to read 15 numbers. It reads them in positions 1 to 15 of an array with 1,000 cells. It then performs the transformations, and you can use any of those cells to hold in immediate results if you wanted to. And at the end of that process, it will write out the 15 numbers that it has after you've performed the transformations. Now, transformations have a fairly basic or elemental syntax based on qualifiers. So ASRML doesn't have a general algebraic-looking syntax for generating transformations. This is fine for simple things. Say if you have yields and you want to just rescale them by multiplying by 100, then you just say exclamation mark star 100. Exclamation mark, it's a qualifier. Asterisk is the qualifier for multiplication. 100 is a constant that it will multiply the yields by. Now, there are quite a range of arithmetic operators, and we're not going to go through them, but some of the basic ones, the arithmetic operators, exclamation mark plus, exclamation mark minus, exclamation mark asterisk, exclamation mark slash for division, and exclamation mark caret for power takes the current value that for this variable and does the appropriate operator, where O in this is either a number, as in the example 100, or it might be the letter V followed by a number, in which case that number is a column number in this vector of 1,000 cells, or it might be a string F, where F is the name of an earlier column. It can't be the name of a later column, because at this point ASRML doesn't know about the later columns, but it can be the name of an earlier column. For example, we might have a column in our data which has got counts, and preceding that we've had a column in the data which has got totals. So we've got maybe number alive out of number counted. So if we've called the totals column total, and we're actually interested in the proportion alive rather than the number alive, then we can change the number alive to proportion alive by saying P alive is the name that we want to give to this column, and the name actually applies after the transformation is performed, and it is obtained by dividing the number that is read in by the number in the total column. So this changes the count to a proportion. At this point, we have gone through an introduction to the operations here. There are a few more transformations that we can look at. The missing value operator, exclamation mark D, followed by a number, will discard records with a missing value in that column or that number in that particular column. M will take a number and convert it into a missing value. So you might have -9 written in your data file to represent missing values. Then by saying exclamation mark M -9, the -9 will be replaced with the missing value code. Sometimes you have missing values in the data and you want to impute a number to them, and you can do that with the exclamation mark NA qualifier. Well, that's enough for now. How about we have a little play, have a little bit of an exercise. Take the zinc job and calculate the ratio. You can create a new variable, in fact, of seed zinc divided by leaf zinc. I haven't given you the syntax here to do that, so maybe you better look up the help file and see if you can work out how you could create a new variable which contains that ratio. Or you could replace the seed zinc by the ratio. That would be a simpler exercise. Also, modify the definition of source to use the exclamation mark I qualifier, and rerun that job and just see what you get. And just look through the help file at the information on transformations.